You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za. Bachmann Turner Overdrive and taking care of business. And if there is anybody who can take care of business, then he's sitting in the studio with me this afternoon. His name is Steve Reed, and he's here for the Entrepreneur Zone. Hello, Steve. I haven't seen you for a while.
That's true.
Yes.
And maybe now you're seeing even more clearly.
Much more clearly. Some things do have a downside. And yes.
So as you look at me, you're thinking, oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Can we take this back? How are you, Steve?
You know, I'm good, thank you. I'm just a little bit sniffy from a bit of hay fever, but I'm here. And glad to be here. And today, Richard, and I'm going to be speaking a little bit about pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching is something that is done, and we normally think of that in the context of competitions. Now, I have put my hat forward to be part of the facilitation of the city's Youth Start Cape Town competition.
Okay.
But I've also facilitated the pitch and polish. I've also been involved in the Western Cape's entrepreneurial recognition awards, etc., and a few others as well. And one common theme runs through all of them. Listeners, and that is how important it is to hone in on your pitch. Now, you might say, but I'm not going to enter any competition. Pitching is not just for the competition, although I would also encourage you to get out of the comfort zone and try a few things. Try and see what happens at a competition. Even if you don't compete, you're being there, you'll come away richer. But most of all, pitching is actually a great discipline that people need to have for their small business. They need to be able to convey to their clients, their customers, their suppliers, etc., what their business is all about in a short way. So, Richard, I thought today I'm going to share a bit about pitching and even give a few tips, etc., and then hopefully in 2 weeks' time bring in someone who's won a pitching competition.
That would be nice.
I may even duplicate that 2 weeks after that,
mm-hmm.
bring in someone who's won a national competition.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That person that I spoke of in the third one, she would love to come, but she's not available for 2 weeks' time. So I'm going to get someone else as well. So let's take a look, see what we can do. So ladies and gents, listeners, I've watched quite a lot of people pitching over the last, I'd say, probably 15 years. And a lot of them make classic mistakes that tend to disconnect entrepreneurs from potential investors. Richard, one of the things that you said is that, you know, oftentimes there are people with great ideas, but they just don't get it into the market. And one of the issues is, how do they do that? How do they have that support? Well, one of the ways that they can test themselves, is through pitching. And I really want to encourage, you know, the Western Cape has got lots and lots of competitions ranging from now, young people, to tech side, to right up to November as well. So listeners, if you're keen on that, please keep an eye out. So the first thing I want to say, it's not about charisma, but about credibility and content. You know, you've seen people who've come onto the stage and they ooze charisma. But that's not necessarily because you've got the gift of the gab, do you have a distinct advantage over the more reserved entrepreneur. It's often that credibility and a meaningful business proposition is more important than the charisma of the entrepreneur. Sure. Passion is contagious. And, you know, when an entrepreneur builds his why into his story, it's compelling and powerful. But you know what? Investors and funders want to see that this startup, this person, this entrepreneur will be sustainable in the long run. a company with cash flow, track record, real world experience has a better chance of getting investors than a business plan forecasting large numbers. Another hint is to honor the insights and experiences of the investors. So they may say something, they may give feedback, and you may think that you're smarter than they are. But if you come across as cocky rather than confident, arrogant rather than confident, you may alienate them and experience a shutdown before you even complete your pitch. I've seen it happen. The person becomes defensive. Person who's pitching, that doesn't get what's been said and misses the boat. The second thing, listeners, is to have a clear, punchy elevator pitch. Entrepreneurs have great ideas, and we spoke about that, but sometimes they merit investment, not all the time, Rich. A clear pitch goes a long way towards achieving that. The so-called elevator pitch is vital. So what is this thing called an elevator pitch? Well, we know it. It's what it means if you walk into an elevator and you say you're going to the 20th floor, it's going to take a minute, 30 seconds to a minute. And at that time, the person looks across at you and says, ah, I see you're wearing this brand or you're carrying this product. Or tell me about that. So you don't have time to engage in a long conversation, etc. You've got 30 seconds to a minute to whet their appetite with something short and punchy. The other thing is, remember that you should make it as simple and as concise as possible. In other words, would a 10-year-old understand the pitch? Opportunities to share this elevator pitch will most likely arise, yes, in an elevator event or a setting or an event or wedged between small talk with friends and their acquaintances. So get on top of the elevator pitch. Now, a little aside, Richard, I and listeners, I brought this one-page document that just shows you how easy it is. So you decide key messages when presenting the company to customers. So, who? So you could start off by saying, we are, or I am, and I could say, I've been in the business development space for the last 18 years. Okay. Another one under who could be, the reason why I started this business. And you talk then about the problem that you're solving. What about the what? So a one, we help our customers overcome the entrepreneurial mindset challenges, like I am afraid or I'm afraid that I'm going to fail, etc. Our products, our service is designed to help people build sustainable businesses. And then the why. So, listeners, it started with who, what, why. So a thing that goes with that, our clients buy our products because, or we had a client who experienced this issue and our products were able to help him. Remember, this is all in the space of 30 seconds. And then how? You can buy our products at or buy the product works by immersing it in water and doing X, Y, Z. So then you take those four things, the who, the what, the why, and the how, and you put it together in one paragraph. And here's the thing. You go over and over and over again so that it becomes part and parcel of who you are. So that at 2 o'clock in the morning when someone grabs your toe,
you can rattle it off.
It's absolutely inside of you. Third thing, listeners, is know your numbers. Be realistic and don't guess. So here are some financial questions that someone who's pitching their business should be thinking about. How much do you need? That speaks to your preparedness and due diligence. If you say, well, and you come up with a guesstimate, immediately they're thinking this
hasn't thought this through.
And then why do you need it? This speaks to how you'll apply it. And by the way, make sure that if you're asking for a big number, make sure you're also showing that you've got a tight belt around yourself. Mm. This is not to feather your nest, etc. How will you pay it back? Your projections of your cash flow should be both realistic and should demonstrate how you'll pay back the investor. And when will you do that? When will you pay it back? As you answer these questions, make sure you also identify the following items. The problem that the business will be solving. Now, Vince, who spoke here a couple of weeks ago, remember that he had two of his Moshebi 1 and Moshebi 2. And the reason, the primary reason that he created that was because of no electricity in the shacks, and therefore people use candles and paraffin, I think. And as a result of that, shack fires. So the problem that they're solving initially was, okay, let's have light without the danger of fire. And then he went on to say, and that unlocked another problem that attracted insects. And so they added that dimension. So talk about the problem that you're solving. Talk about the size of the market that the business will be addressing. Think about Vince and that Moshebi. It could be massive when you think about how many townships, just with this terrible storm that we've had.
Yeah.
I think there were three townships that were affected by fires, three or maybe four. Terrible. What is your sustainable competitive advantage? What makes you stand out? What makes this thing a purple cow? Purple cow? Well, we all know about a brown cow, black cow, black and white cow. But if I say to you, Richard, on the way here, I saw a purple cow, you might say to me, Steve, did you...
what have you been smoking?
Something, yeah. So a purple cow is remarkable. People remark on that. And find that thing, that secret sauce, that thing that makes your product or service zing. What's the size of the market that the business will be addressing? What's the expected revenues and cost of the business? And then who is the team? Now, you might at the moment be just by yourself. But if you're projecting that you're going to be growing by multiples, you're not going to be able to do it if you haven't thought through, I need this core team. And to an investor, that again says you've not prepared well. Two more things. Embrace feedback and learn quickly. I'm amazed at how people come with what they believe is the best idea in the world. And the adjudicators, they not being paid, they give feedback. And sometimes the person doing the pitch gets offended. You know why? Because we only kiss our own babies. So the person has fallen in love with his idea to the degree that he can't distinguish something that will build or help and something that will break. And so they interpret what's being said as it's a hit on me. And we must get over that. We must embrace feedback and change quickly. Leave your pride at the door when making a pitch and be open to the investor's suggestions. Then tight belt thinking. I spoke about that. Thinking economically makes lots of sense. In an age when spending is out of control, you'll need to prove you are a fiscally responsible person who knows how to get the most out of a rand. Give yourself wiggle room in your operations and marketing budgets, but for goodness sake, avoid being excessive. It's handy to clarify what you're bringing to the party, the so-called skin in the game. People want to see, they say, okay, so to themselves, you're wanting me to take a risk on you. You're wanting me to put down 500,000 or 100,000 or whatever, okay? And then they're looking to see what have you brought to the table. And if you kind of standing there,
That they're doing it all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're going to say, this is not only expressed. That skin in the game is not only expressed in cash terms, but also in sweat terms. What's that band in Belleville? The Sweatshop, I think they call it. Let your lean thinking also be expressed in moderate salaries. Why? Because it sends a message. It sends a message of prudence, and it can enhance your credibility. Listeners, I want to finish off with just a few tips that we say to young people. Maybe you are a young person, or maybe you're an older person, but here are a couple of tips when you're thinking about pitching. Firstly, around you, the person, have you rehearsed and practiced the pitch? Do it. Ask someone to videotape you. Put yourself on and see how you do. Use a video to record the length and strength of your pitch, because you think that you were 2 minutes, but you were actually 5 minutes, and improve. Do you start and end well? Okay, that's quite important. Start and finish with a bang. Use a statement, a photo, a short story, or a statistic. You're going. What have you done to manage your nerves? If you don't manage your nerves will manage you. Okay. The amazing thing is that people won't know that you're nervous unless you tell them, oh, I'm so nervous. Okay. You know that
it's so
competent public speakers get a little bit nervous. But what they've done is they've learned not to show it. So that's you. What about the actual proposal? Not a wedding proposal or a marriage proposal. The proposition. What problem are you solving? Highlight the problem and the need that you're addressing. How can you highlight your solution? Share your solution to the pain point. That person, that organization, that community is experiencing a pain point. And this is how Moshebi 1, Moshebi 2, this is how it solves that. Do you describe your target market accurately? Think in terms of demographics, i.e. income, age, interest, etc. What competition is out there? Oh, please, don't say there's no one else who does this. You may think that you are so unique that there's just no one else. But in some shape or form, you've got competition. And it shows that you're thinking about competition and your place in the market landscape. What makes your product service different? That's the secret sauce, the technology. How will your target market know about your product or your service? So in other words, you've got to say, this is how we will reach them. And here's a funny one. It seems so obvious. How will you make money? Show that the financial model that you are presenting is believable, scalable, and relevant. Even if you're doing it for a competition, a test is, does this person that you're pitching to, who's maybe measuring different things, would they invest money in you? Okay. How will you apply funding? Remember, be specific, be clear. How can interested parties get hold of you? Oh, my goodness, don't forget to kind of say, and one more thing, you can get hold of me at entrepreneurship.com, whatever. And then, if you're using a slide deck, is the slide deck succinct? Make it professional, authentic, and check your spelling. What size should the font be? It should be no smaller than 28 points. Because you're not asking them to get out their binoculars. And then no more than, watch this one, 4 bullets per slide.
Yeah,
when it's so busy, etc., they stop listening to you. And they're kind of...
They're dazzled by all the... Yeah.
Exactly. And some people say, how many slides? A maximum of 10. So, I mean, you know, when they look and they see on your laptop, this is number 1 of 54.
Oh, they're now already falling asleep.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. But if you know that, you know what, I've got this amount of time, I've practiced, I've put this together, I'm excited about it, I've got a real solution to a real problem... And I've packaged it in such a way that I'm excited about it. Well, others will get excited about it too. So listeners, just a look at pitching your business, that it's not just for competitions. It's also to be able to clearly communicate the value proposition of your business. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to bring some winners. Firstly, in 2 weeks' time, and then in another 2 weeks' time. And you're going to see different people. I think the first person that I'm going to bring in will be a lot more quieter. And the second person is vibrant and buoyant and kind of lights up the studio, that kind of person. You don't have to have either personality.
Yeah.
It's all about preparation.
And content.
Yeah.
The content. You know, what you're talking about here, Steve, when you sit and go through it, it sounds logical.
Yeah.
But when you're in that sort of can't see the wood for the trees scenario where you get yourself so wrapped up, it's almost you can forget about these things. And sometimes it's worth stepping back and putting yourself in the position of the person you're pitching to. So that they, you know, if someone was pitching to you, what would you be looking for? And making sure that you covered those bases. I think it's a really, that's great stuff. It really is.
Thank you. So, Richard, here's a question. Can you play guitar?
Yes.
Okay. Can you play guitar? Okay. So I've asked the young man sitting next to Richard whether he can play guitar. Do you know that it's a skill that you can learn over time to play D and G? And, you know, eventually the sound that's coming out is not awful. It doesn't sound like a cat that's been stood on its tail. But the point is, you may not become a master musician, but you can learn a skill. And the same thing with pitching. Pitching, ladies and gentlemen, is a skill. And when it comes to being an entrepreneur, when it comes to your business, be the best that you can be.
Yeah, and it doesn't ever stop.
Exactly.
It doesn't ever stop. Steve, thank you very much for your time and effort and preparation. It really is great to see you again.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll touch base again in 2 weeks' time.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
Take care.